podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I belong to you.
Do just what you want. You're the one I trust.
What's an internet? Keo, Shamola!
And I always be wrong. When you need some love and baby.
No one else.
Yeah.
Put you down.
Hey guys, I'm Si, and welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of the Andy Campbell Championship Show. This is Series 3, Episode number 1. The show is available live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Ace Podcast Nation, of course, your home to many great shows and series featuring top guests, expert analysts, and more. So please do give us a follow on social media for information on upcoming shows and guests. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. Click the bell for notifications. And, of course, the audio versions are now available on the Sports Social Podcast Network, along with all the other shows produced by Ace Podcast Nation. The Sports Social Podcast Network is the UK's first sports podcast network, and you can find all different shows on their website at www.sport-social.co.uk, including all the shows we do. But I urge you to give them a follow and check them out, of course. And of course, this year, as mentioned on Monday, we're supporting a charity, Super Six Football Prediction League, raising money for two great charities. First is Maggie's Centre, which is a cancer charity, and Mind Mental Health Charity, both of which are very close to our hearts. There's a number of ex-footballers, Cardiff City players, you can compete against, as well as myself. There are cash prizes for the league winners. The first round begins tomorrow at 3 p.m. But there is still time to enter and test your football predictions against people like myself and Andy and plenty of other people. We'd love to get our viewers involved, so please do join the charity Super Six League. I've dropped a comment on Facebook. It might be on the other link, unfortunately, but you can contact Will Melhuish, who's probably in the chat at some point, and he'll add you to the Facebook group to get involved. Big thank you to Black Diamond Sports, as ever, for their support around the show and the channel. Black Diamond Sports is a global sports agency representing sports stars from around the world. For more information, you can visit their social media pages, the links to which are in the description, and I believe in the closing credits at the end of the show. Today's sponsor, Darren Ralston and Bespoke Financial. Darren, as ever, is giving away a free will with £140 cash with any new policy which is taken out. Please check him out. Give him a call. Don't miss out on an incredible offer. They offer so many services. They've looked after Andy with various policies over the years, the critical illness, the injury cover. They are top of their field. They provide award-winning service. We are very proud to partner with such a top-class brand, and we thank them for sponsoring the show. But with no further ado, the championship is back tonight. We are very excited to talk about it. It's been an incredible week of football stories, but who better to discuss them with than the goal collector himself, the fox in the box, still the king of the Millennium Stadium, former Cardiff City and Middlesbrough hero, Davy Jones's favourite son, Mr. Andy Campbell. Welcome, my friend. We are here.
Good evening.
Just about.
Yeah,
Yeah, good evening. We're back with a bang. Fans back as well, which is listen, that's key for me. I think that the season we're looking forward to so much because we're going to be involved directly, indirectly, and it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be probably the toughest championship season to date. I think, you know, I mean, the league's ridiculous. I think the teams in it. I think there's going to be plenty of downs with some ups along the way for every team. I think I don't think anyone's going to run away with it, but I think it's going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating this year.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Look, I know this is the championship show, and I know we're going to keep this show to a short, sharp hour this series as best we can. But we have to talk about it. Lionel Messi's leaving Barcelona, mate. Not the story we expected to hear yesterday. No. But my question is part of the same thing, I guess. My question is, has Harry Kane been stitched up a little bit by Man City if they choose to sign Messi?
I don't know, because I still think there's another twist or two to be heard. You know what I mean? Because, there's always ways and means of players signing for clubs or going back to clubs. You know what I mean? I don't think he's dead in the water either way. Messi and Harry Kane are two different players. Messi's not going to go and get you 30 goals in the Premier League.
No.
So it's, you know what I mean, it's not like for like. For me, I don't think there's space for Messi with Jack Grealish unless they get rid of two or three players. But listen, Messi's a world-class player, and I would have took him ahead of Jack Grealish. But they're going to have to get rid of some kind of attacking midfield players to compensate, to try and fit him in. You know what I mean? A centre-forward, if they're going to play with a centre-forward, they need a centre-forward, in my opinion, to go to that next level and to win the Champions League. But for me, I think Paris Saint-Germain are going to play their part. Other Premier League teams might play their part. I think there's still going to be a huge story in the next week or two. But it needs resolving either way. You know what I mean? Harry Kane just came out with a statement tonight saying that he hasn't missed training. His agreement was always to come back tomorrow. So, you know what I mean? You can only, you know what I mean? Someone's lying. You know what I mean? And why would a player come out with? You know what I mean? Because the club's never come out with it, by the way. So if that's just people talking and people causing problems, then, you know what I mean, all you can do is believe what, if a personal statement comes out, you know what I mean, there's got to be some kind of truth behind it.
Yeah, Daniel Levy is a very clever businessman. And at the end of the day, if he wants Spurs fans to not turn against him for selling Harry Kane, what's the best way to do it? Is turn the fans against Harry Kane by making out he's going on strike. Not saying that's what happened, but it'd be an obvious clever point. On the Messi thing, I do think that it's not 100% that he leaves Barcelona, because I do think there's an element of Barcelona trying to force La Liga's hands to up the wage caps, because they have obviously brought in these wage caps now, which is crippling Barcelona and Real Madrid. It's causing them some massive issues when they're going to have to sell all sorts of players. But La Liga don't want Messi to leave the Spanish league, because he is a massive, massive point of selling TV rights, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of course, 100%. Barca and Madrid 100%. Are the thing, but Messi's the guy, isn't he?
Messi is La Liga on his own. You know what I mean? He's played his whole career there. They don't want him to go anywhere else. You know what I mean? European football, the giants of the way that they play. For me, it's going to be a difficult pill to swallow for the world of football and for Spanish football, because they've just got their own new TV network with Gary Lineker running it, with Steve McManaman and other people. Yeah. So how can they talk about the world's best league or one of the best leagues if they haven't got the best players in it? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a big one, mate. I just hope I don't care where he goes. I just hope he doesn't go to Paris, because to me, I look at that, they'd have Messi, Mbappe and Neymar up front, never mind Di Maria and all these other players they've got. And I just think it's an absolute shame that those players, while they're still able to play at the very top of their game, are playing in the French League. And there's no disrespect to the players and fans of that league, but it's not competitive. Like, they're the best players in Europe, those three, in terms of their positions, really. And they should be playing week in, week out in one of the best leagues in Europe.
I think if Messi does come to the Premier League, he'll bring other players with him. I think, and obviously not straight away, but I think it'll encourage other players to come along and jump on board, because good players want to play with and against good players week in, week out. And then I think we can, as a nation, we can forget about this Super League, and because we've got it, we'll have it within the UK. Because if we're getting all the best players, then we don't need teams to go off here, there, and everywhere. Because what's the point of playing Real Madrid and Barcelona anymore? They're not. Well, They're not as big clubs if they haven't got the players behind them in the backing. So, you know what I mean? For me, the Premier League would be a bigger animal.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem with Madrid and Real Madrid, Madrid and Barcelona is they didn't want to hand over European Champions League dominance to the British clubs, did they? So they overspent to sign all these Galacticos and people like Dembele and all these people who went for like 120 million and because they didn't want Premier League clubs to get them because Premier League clubs were getting to the Champions League final regularly. And I think they're paying for it now. And I unfortunately yeah, for totally Spanish agree. Football, it could be a real big problem. But yeah, I wanted to make mention of that story, mate, just obviously because I guess it is where it is. Another thing I wanted to mention just before we go into the championship is I wanted to send my sincere condolences to Michael Ballack and his family and friends. His absolute horrific story for anyone who doesn't know. His son, Emilio, aged 18, died. I think it was in an accident on some sort of quad bike. I'm not 100% sure on the details, but absolutely tragic. And obviously, every parent's worst nightmare, mate. So I think you'll agree, sending condolences.
Yeah, 100%. It puts football into perspective, you know what I mean? And when we're all looking forward to the season started, like Michael will have been with his family and looking forward to watching German football, English football, blah, blah, blah. And then something like this happens, it just puts life into perspective. And the year or the 18 months that we've all had has been horrific, but it just seems to be continuing. And it's so sad. And yeah, hopefully that the family's okay at this really sad time. Really sad.
Yeah, it's horrible, mate. Right. Well, let's move on to the championship, my friend, because there's a lot to talk about. There's a game tonight as well, which we're going to discuss. But I wanted to just have a pick, rather than go through every club, because we do want to try and keep these shows relatively compact. Just kind of pick a few clubs to discuss, maybe their transfer business and whatnot. But the first club I want to discuss is Borough. Holgate Dat has just asked in the chat what you think of Borough missing out on so many strikers. Is it money or is it geography, he says?
Well, I'm not really sure Neil needs a centre forward, to be perfectly honest. I think he's done his business quite sensibly. He's brought in, obviously, the centre forward. I can't even pronounce his name. The lad from Wycombe Wanderers, Uche Ipizu. If that's right, apologies if I've pronounced your name wrong. But the way that Neil plays with one up front and midfielders behind and wide, he's just brought in Piero, centre midfielder, attacking centre midfielder from Argentina. So with Sam Amiobi, and with Tavernier and other players, attacking players. Listen, you know what I mean? It'd be nice to go and inundate and sign loads of centre-forwards, but you know what I mean? Money talks, and I don't think the club's inundated with money that they can go and splash on for substitutes and reserve players and things. So for me, work on the 11 that he needs and then back up players after that, because for me, I'm more excited this time last year than I was this time last year. You know what I mean? With the attacking players they've got, I think they'll score a lot more goals than they did last year. So yeah, I'm quietly confident that Neil will do better than he did last year, which should mean playoffs at a minimum for me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I do think Neil overachieved at Middlesbrough last year. When I look at the squads and the teams around him, I agree with what you said a few minutes ago that this year the championship just looks an even bigger minefield than it's ever looked before. The teams which stayed down, the teams which underperformed last year, like I would put Cardiff in that, I'd put Forest in that, I'd put Reading in that, I'd put who else?
We've Bournemouth.
Got Derby, and then you've got like Fulham who just missed out, Bournemouth, Bristol, you know, Blackburn Rovers underperformed. Birmingham, you never know what you're going to get. Barnsley overachieved. Can they do it again? It's fascinating stuff, mate. Yeah. On the Middlesbrough thing, I think Amiobi could be a genius signing. I think that could be a Warnock special if they can get the best out of him, because I think he's a very, very talented boy. So, I'm excited by what Neil Warnock will do at Middlesbrough.
I think with Neil's side, we all know, all the Cardiff fans know, that he defends well and he tries to nick goals. And if he can have a season with a record number of clean sheets, then Middlesbrough will be up there, because Middlesbrough will score goals, because Middlesbrough will get the odd goal each game. And if they can keep clean sheets and be hard to beat and resolute then they'll have an opportunity. But like you just said, and I said at the start of the show, that this league is a minefield. It's so open, more open than ever. You know what I mean? And on about teams underachieving, you've even got the Sheffield Wednesdays, who got relegated last year. They massively underachieved because they were one of the favourites to go up last year. And some of their players have left. The teams who have come down, normally at this time of the year, we'd probably be having a conversation saying we expect all three to go back up. But that's just not the case anymore, because the Championship always throws in a surprise. There's teams who've been rebuilding for two or three seasons, and this is their probably time to go and attack the league to get promoted or get in the playoffs. So it's gonna be an absolute nightmare, because there's going to be six teams who are, at the end of the season, are going to be over the moon and happy. And there's probably going to be 10 teams who are going to be disappointed and probably...
It's fascinating. It's really fascinating, I find, this year. Like, I think this year more than ever, I look at it and I just think I'm finding it very difficult to predict. I wouldn't be surprised if Cardiff do really well. I wouldn't be surprised if Cardiff get relegated, which kind of tells you everything you need to know about what's what. It's one of the teams I'm really looking forward to seeing is Barnsley. I really, really enjoyed watching Barnsley last year, and I'm really interested to see if they can repeat what they did last year, because obviously the year before, Barnsley nearly went down, mate, and then last year they nearly went up, or they nearly got to the play, you know, they nearly went to the player finals and stuff.
The reason why they won't do as well is because the manager's gone to West Brom, and for me, he was the manager. He was my manager of the season. I think he was a lot more people's manager of the season. He got voted for manager of the year because, and rightly so, by the way, he did a phenomenal job. Mowat's left and gone to he's followed him to West Brom. A few other players have followed and gone to other clubs. So it's going to be a big ask this year for Barnsley to follow suit and carry it on, but. The club's in a better position financially, more stable as a football club, especially after all the money they've potentially lost through COVID and lack of attendances. But they're in a really good position as a football club. But on the pitch, it might be a little bit tricky, because the expectation on the new manager is going to be quite strong. And with the manager moving on to West Bromwich Albion, I think West Brom will be in a really good position, even though they've got a really tough game tonight.
Yes, indeed, mate. With Barnsley, they've signed a few players who, you know, if they hit the ground running, they're from different leagues around Europe. They could be dreadful. They could be incredible. It depends on their scouting system, basically.
You've just mentioned it there. Their scouting system is excellent, by the way. You know what I mean? It reminds me a little bit like Brentford. Brentford did it a few years ago. They go and pick the best young players and the best people from a certain area, certain countries, and look further afield. Because why would they overpay? You know what I mean? A lot of teams overpay in England, and the prices are horrific. You know what I mean? Free transfers, there's a lot of players, but the scouting system that Barnsley have got in place, like Brentford had in place before they got promoted out of the Championship, which took them probably a year longer than they should have done. But I hope Barnsley do well, because Barnsley and Luton and teams like that who've been steady over the course of the couple of seasons since promotion deserve to do well, because they're good football clubs.
Yeah, 100%, mate. You mentioned West Brom. What have you thought of the sort of the business they've done in the summer? And obviously, look, you've got a new manager. They literally looks like Mateus Pereira has signed a 5-year deal with a Saudi professional league club, Al Hilal, I think it's pronounced, for an undisclosed fee. He is 25 years old, mate. He's had two, maybe three incredible seasons at West Brom. I am to say I'm disappointed, and I do not mean this in any sort of disrespectful way to the Saudi Arabian League, but in my eyes, he could play for a top 10 Premier League football club. And
he should have done
a La Liga or even a French league, whatever.
Yeah, he should. I'm just 25, that, mate, that was a disappointment for me, because 2 years ago, for people who watched this show, he got in my team with a team that he got me my back one the best player week in, week out. He was outstanding. He was the best player in the Championship I've seen in a long, long time. I thought in the Premier League he took it to like a duck into water. He really enjoyed to test himself against the best, especially from a club who's got relegated. He stood out. He's shone. He was a shining light for a football club. Has he gone to chase money? Only he can answer that. I'm not surprised he's not in the Championship anymore, by the way. So I thought he would have stepped back into the Premier League or gone abroad, like you've just said. But going back on the business, Mowat, I think, is a good signing. They've signed Adam Reach as well from Sheffield Wednesday, which I think is an excellent signing, by the way. I think they've gone two wide players, and they'll create chances, they'll score goals themselves. I think they'll be very dangerous, and I think you'll see that straight away. with tonight's game. But I think I don't think they needed a lot of tweaking. I'll be honest, because they've still got a Premier League squad. They'll have a big squad still. But I think the new manager's wanting to bring his own fresh ideas in, which I think it'll be evident probably in about 6 or 7 games' time, because I think you can't judge him after tonight, because tonight's probably one of the hardest games of the season already. But I think it'll be a good opportunity for him to put a marker down if they can get a result tonight, a positive result, and then go into the next home game or the first home game with fans back. But good luck to them. He's an excellent manager, and I expect him to be right up there come the end of the season.
Yeah, big game to open up against Bournemouth. What about Bournemouth, huge, mate? Some interesting signings. He signed a defender from Leeds, Davis. Stanislas signed a new deal. I think that's an important one for him. And they signed, I've forgotten his name, the boy from Stoke. Surridge.
The biggest signing of all, though, for me is the manager. You know what I mean? What a signing. You know what I mean? For a club to make an intention in this league, to get rid of Jonathan Woodgate, who had a really good end to the season, by the way, but obviously the fail to get promoted, that was his remit. Obviously disappointed for Woody not to get the job, but if you're going to go for the best young manager, English manager, if that's what you wanted, for the Championship, he's been there, Scotty Parker, he's wore the T-shirt, he probably didn't achieve what he wanted to achieve in the Premier League, but instead of the pressure at the club that you've always worked for and played for, he's now gone for a fresh football club, Bournemouth, big club, you know what I mean? Nice football club, play good football. Still got some very good players. David Brooks, I think it's a huge season for him, by the way. I think, for me, I think he's going to be a big season for him. He's got himself fit. He's obviously been, he's had a good summer. And it's a big game for him tonight. If he can, he scores goals from midfield area, from wide. He's exciting. He's got pace. They've got Solanke up front scoring goals. I do expect Bournemouth to be better than last season. And if they do better than they did last season, then I can't really see them not going up, because obviously they failed at the playoff hurdle, which was disappointing for them. But they've probably took a step back to probably go too far this year. And it's going to be fascinating. But I think tonight's game just shows how big the Championship is, because this is a Premier League game, Si, isn't it? This is where this is what we're talking about. We're on about a Premier League 2. This is a Premier League 2. It's not a Championship anymore. The Premier League is massive, but the Championship is getting even bigger every year. And these two teams should be in the Premier League by performances over the last couple of years. They're just the gulf of step up has meant they've had to step down again, which, you know what I mean, for me, there's only 3 spaces to get promoted, unfortunately.
Yes, indeed. On David Brooks, mate, I think it's vital that he stays fit and plays 30-plus games this year.
Totally agree.
I really believe that. He hasn't done that enough in his career. Not the only one, of course, but I think for his development, his reputation, everything, I think is for him to keep moving forward is important. He plays, you know, 30 plus. And then another team which have been interesting is Swansea City. New manager. Were you surprised that they ended up having a new manager? Were you surprised at their choice of manager?
I'm surprised at both. I'm surprised that the manager left without going into a job straight away, because you're on about progression through, and you're on about getting a new job. I was surprised with that. What surprised me the most, Si, is the laughable nature, the way that clubs do their business. And I'm not doing it. I'm not saying this because of Swansea. Other clubs have made the same mistakes. They go hunting for a manager. They make it public. He turns them down. And then they go on to another manager, he turns them down, then they go on to another manager who accepts, and then they turn around and say it's the first choice. It's laughable at times when clubs do it. You know what I mean? For me, keep your business quiet until it's all agreed, signed and sealed, and then you can announce it. Because I think it's embarrassing for a manager to take over knowing that he's not first choice, for example, because you've got Russell Martin, who's done a good job at MK Dons, by the way, and he's learnt his trade, he's earned his stripes, but he's going into the Lions' Den under pressure. A, to play the Swansea way, because Swansea play good, attractive football. B, you're going into a city and playing against Cardiff City in the same division. Swansea have been in the playoffs the last couple of seasons, so you put yourself under pressure again. There's so many pressure points which is going to be thrown onto the manager, because if they don't get in the playoffs this year, then surely he's underachieved. You know what I mean? And that could go for 6 or 7 other managers, by the way. But if you've got a football club who's used to getting playoffs season after season after season, and then you don't all of a sudden, then it's going to be, it'll be disastrous. And would the fans be happy and the club be happy if they didn't get in the playoffs this year? My as a football fan, I'd say no. I think every Cardiff City fan who's watching this show will be absolutely over the moon if they don't. But it's all about winning as many games as you can. I said last year, if Cardiff City get promoted and lose twice against Swansea, I don't care. You know, it's all about getting promoted after those 46 games of the season. Yes, I'll be disappointed they don't beat Swansea because it's a big game. It's a rivalry. But it's all about 46 games. It's all about getting enough points in that board come May and not having to go through the heartache or the pressures of the playoffs as well. But you know what I mean? When they play Swansea, I'll be well up for the game because it's got fans back in the stadiums. It'll be great. But I think the pressure's on Swansea this year. The pressure's on the manager. The pressure's on the players. The pressure's on the club. Have they made the right decision? So it's a big call. It's a big call.
Yeah, it's one of them, mate, isn't it? I was very surprised to see Cooper leave. I was very surprised. It seemed like they were linked with a different manager every couple of days. Yeah. And then...
Well, I said to you, Sam, we had a conversation about John Terry. You know what I mean? And I thought, John Terry left Villa the day of the Swansea manager leaving. So for me, it was a no-brainer, unless he's had talks and they fell through. Because if you're going to get a job, if they named John Terry, I would be a little bit like, well, that's a big statement because he's left a Premier League club to drop down the Championship. His first job, he'll attract players, young players, Chelsea players, Villa players to play some decent football. It would have been probably a good call. I just think it's a big, brave decision to ask somebody who's not really massively overachieved in the League One. But yeah, it's a risk. But so is Middlesbrough keeping Neil Warnock for another season. So is the risk that Cardiff City have got Mick McCarthy. You know what I mean? The someone's going to be underachieving this year. There's some big managers who are going to feel the pressure come the end of the season.
What about their sign-ins, their transfer business? Anything stick out for you, mate?
On Swansea?
Yeah.
No, nothing really what I didn't expect from the outset. I think teams aren't running away with loads of money anymore, Si. You know what I mean? That there's a reason why managers leave as well, because he probably sees the budget and probably sees that he's probably taken them as far as he can go in terms of that. So it was always going to be a difficult one. New manager coming in, he knows exactly what he's expecting, but he's stepping up to a Championship level. He's stepping up to a big club with a nice stadium and a good setup as a football club. So, no, I'm expecting Swansea to play the same way as what they were, with a couple of additions. And I still expect them to have a solid season, but I just think there's a lot of pressure if they don't achieve what they should be achieving.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And then I suppose it's natural to move on to Cardiff next. The one thing which gives me hope for Cardiff City at the moment is that I believe we have the best striker in the league. And secondly, Mick McCarthy hasn't done a lot wrong since taking over. But if I was looking at the kind of the squads, the transfer business, it doesn't sort of fill me with like excitement of we're really going to challenge for the playoffs and stuff like that. Yeah. But we'll see how we go. I wouldn't say I was negative, but I wouldn't say I was positive either.
We are talking about Kiefer Moore, not James Collins, right?
Yeah, of course.
listen, the biggest signing for me this summer is keeping hold of Kiefer Moore. You know what I mean? It hasn't happened yet. I know, but I'm guessing though, with the season starting tomorrow, that I was quite surprised that he's still there tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because the Premier League season starts a week after. I think a lot of Premier League clubs have done the business a little bit earlier than they normally would do. Yes, the transfer window doesn't shut. Yes, there's rumours that people are bidding. But if he goes and plays tomorrow and, for example, he doesn't look fit, or even if he goes and scores two or three goals, I'm expecting him to go and score tomorrow because he's a good footballer. He scores goals. You go on about the other players. They've obviously signed Ryan Wintle from Crewe Alexandra on a free transfer. Ryan Giles from Wolves on loan, and Mike McGuinness from Arsenal, I believe. I'm in the same mindset as you. They didn't blow me away, the signings, but the solid Championship signings at this time of the year, which obviously I know they tried to get Harry Wilson back on loan, but obviously, when he goes and signs for a club for £10 million, you can't
match that.
It's difficult. It makes it unmanageable. And Cardiff haven't got that kind of money and funds available. Keeping hold of, they've got a strong midfield area. Bakuna, Pack, and Joe Roll. Joe scored a cracking goal against Newport last weekend from long range. He looks fiery. He looks fit. He looks hungry. NG. If he can stay fit, I think he's a big player on the right-hand side. Cardiff have always missed players on the right-hand side. The biggest thing for me, and I know Cardiff fans have been saying it on all over social media, is Joe Bennett. Joe's an interesting one because Joe's out of contract. Joe's been training with Cardiff, trying to get fit. Apparently, he's looking in really good shape. He's impressing people every day in training. Is he going to sign back on? You know what I mean? Will he be offered?
They might give him a year, I do.
A new contract. You know what I mean? I know he's missed obviously the games, and the games are coming thick and fast. But if he's still training with Cardiff, if he's still in a good area in terms of levels. You know what I mean? And if he's still living in Cardiff, then surely the ideal option would be to sign him back on. But listen, I'm expecting progressions. Anyway, I'm expecting Cardiff to do well.
So one of the reasons why I'm a bit up in the air about whether Cardiff will do well or not this year is simply because I believe we've got a massive group of young footballers who I think will be very, very good. And Don has mentioned a handful of them there, like Kieran Evans and Colwell and Isaac Davis. I think Giles has the potential to be very good as a signing. He's a loan signing from Wolves. And I think we've got Harris up front as well. Cardiff have got a really good group of young footballers coming through at Cardiff City that look like, yes, in a couple of years, they could be special players. But this group of young footballers at Cardiff City, it's a lot of pressure to expect them to go into the Championship this year and perform at a high level and do everything, and compete for the playoffs. But I got to say, even though Gavin White hasn't played and I feel like he was never really given a chance at Cardiff City. I feel like he showed a little bit about him. And when you look at Josh Murphy and the fact that Tomlin's injured, I think it's a little bit strange to let Gavin White go, because one thing I think we are lacking is wingers. Obviously, we've had Mendes Langley, we've had Hoylett's gone. Mm. It's a puzzling one, that is, but I think someone just said in the chat, GD Parry says he's played Joe Bennett on the left wing, which I suppose is an option. But yeah, I'm just saying Cardiff have got a load of really good youngsters. I just think it might be a little bit too much to expect those youngsters to perform at a consistent level high enough to get a playoff place, if that makes sense.
If the Cardiff youngsters do play, please, if you go in there, watch the games, home and away, back them to the tilt, because those kind of players need the backing, because they're going to have bad games, they're going to have bad results, and we can't turn against young players. You know, I know how much backing I got from the Borough fans when I came through, that good games to back me, bad games to back me, good results to back me, bad results to back me as a person, as a player. And it gave me a boost, and young players need that, because, you know, when you can go into your shell a little bit, and with fans coming back, there's going to be that little bit more pressure. Yes, it's nice to play in front of fans, but it's also pressure as well. You know what I mean? Cardiff fans can be hostile, same as other fans, and it's but they're the best fans to play for. But at the same time, the players need to understand that they've got the backings from the fans. To add on to your point, Si, for me, I was gutted that Gav left. I'll be honest, I watched him live against Middlesbrough. I thought he was the best player on the pitch by a country mile. He didn't do it enough, but he didn't get enough chances to do it as well. You know what I mean? So that's probably a negative on both parts. Cardiff have been inundated over the last probably three or four seasons with wingers. You just named four of them: the Josh Murphys, the Junior Hoylett's, the Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, and the Gavin White. You know what I mean? Where's the width? Where's the pace? Where's the trickery? Where's it going to come from? You know what I mean? Because we've lost three of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I find Cardiff City, when they're on fire and when they're on song, getting wide. Balls through, pace, trickery, getting in the box. You know what I mean? You've just said they've got the best centre forward in the league. You know what I mean? For me, he's one of two. By the way, because I'm gonna put Mitrovic up there with him because he's done it for years. He's wore the T-shirt, and until he stops doing it, you know what I mean? He's a very good footballer. But where does Mitrovic's goals come from? They come from Peter putting the ball in the box. Where he's successful, you know what I mean? For me, Kiefer Moore's goals in the Euros, people putting balls in the box. Cardiff need to put balls in the box better and more consistently and with more quality. And wingers are good at that. And that's why I thought it was a strange decision to get rid of Wideman, because the way that Mick likes to play of mixing people up and giving people rest and stuff, for me, Neil Warnock did it. But you've got to have the players to rest, because if you're going to overplay players and they're going to play with injuries or they're going to play with lack of form, then they're not going to give you the quality and the performances that you need. And I'm gutted if Lee Tomlin is going to be out for a while again, because he needs to play football. He needs to play football for himself first and foremost, because the club needs some pure evaluation for what they're getting from his performances. And if he's fit, he does well, but he's just at the minute he's not on the pitch enough.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Cardiff historically have always had good wingers as well, and I do worry about that. Another thing positionally, I hope they do from the very first game, is get Bakuna back in that central midfield role.
Totally agree.
Because he looked lost at fullback. We shipped goals from that side, and I just think him as not necessarily a holding midfielder, but just a central midfielder who adds a bit of aggression and a bit of bite, but is not a bad footballer either, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I think Cardiff fans can please tell me if I'm wrong, but from team selection over pre-season, it does look like he's going to go to a back three with two wing backs, which will be NG on one side. I'm not sure who he'll play on the left.
Bagan
played there, but then if you're going to do that, then you're going to have three players in centre midfield, which then would be automatically for me, it would be Bakuna, Rawls, and Pack. And then it would leave two attacking players. Look, you know what I mean?
There's a lack of creativity there, though, mate, isn't there?
Oh, massively. Unless you put Josh Murphy on the left hand side as a wing back and let him go and attack. Because NG gets forward with quality, by the way, because he's come from a good stock from Crewe Alexandria. He's a good footballer. He likes to get forward. He's got pace. He's got energy. And yes, it's a risk sometimes playing wingers out wide, because they don't defend as much, but they give you some more creativity and get you going forward as much. They get you going forward a lot more and get you the end product. And you need end product in this league, Si. We spoke about it over the years about scoring goals. The teams who do well in this league are the teams who score the most goals. And if you're going to score one goal a game, you ain't going to be successful. You need to get the second goal.
Yeah, unless you get clean sheet after clean sheet after clean sheet.
There's that many good players now who, for me, there's goals.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The point of, if you say we're going to play at Murphy, say, at left wing back, or at right wing back, that would be the point of doing that would be to get forward and to get balls in the box, etc. But also, that's why you'd have Pack and Bakuna and Joe Rawls to a lesser extent in the middle to cover him. And you've got three centre backs to cover him when he's out of position and too far forward. So, maybe it's not completely out of the question. But then, like someone said in the chat, Joe Bennett could be a good choice for a wing back as well.
Joe's a perfect wing back. And you've just said it yourself, right there. But if you're going to put Bagan at left wing back, for me, he's more of a defensive minded player.
Then you're gonna
have a defender and then three defenders and then defensive midfielders. For me, you're overcooking it. You know what I mean? For me, you need an outlet, and teams are just gonna keep peppering the goal if you're not careful. And for me, I'm excited because this is another talking point. It's a talking point within what we used to get in the pub before a game and after the game. That did Mick get his team selection right? Did Neil Warnock get his team selection right? Who would you play? You know what I mean? These are good talking points, and whatever team Mick puts out will be the right decision because he's seen them over pre-season, and hopefully they get the result that they need. As Bournemouth take the lead, by the way, against West Brom.
Sorry, mate. My child has just decided he wants to just talk to me while I'm doing a live podcast. Moving on next, mate. We've got Sheffield United. I will come back to Cardiff in a minute because I'm sure we'll get some questions about it. For me, the last thing I'll say on Cardiff is we are lacking and not necessarily a number 10, but like a creative attacking midfielder. Tomlin, you're just not going to get a full season out of him. So for us as a football club to not replace Harry Wilson with a like for like, whether it's a loan, and I know we've brought in some young players on loan, it's a big ask to expect these guys who have not played a lot of, like Harry Wilson's played a lot of first team football before he came to Cardiff on loan. Like Donna said there, Ryan Giles is fab, and I agree, Ryan Giles is a good footballer, but he hasn't played a great deal of first team football. So you can't expect him to go and play 42 championship games and be the guy in a top championship side. That worries me, I got to be honest, because as good as Joe Riles is, he's not that sort of creative footballer.
Yeah. I think the concern for me, Si, is the size of the squads that teams are running with. Because any kind of injuries, you know what I mean? Cardiff are running with a small squad. Likewise, other teams are running. It's because of finance. It's because of financial fair play. It's because of COVID. You know what I mean? And it's not an excuse by any means, because every other team's doing it. Yes, Fulham have signed Harry Wilson for £10 million, but they'll still be running on a smaller squad. And a few injuries picked up could be an absolute disaster for football clubs. You look at Derby County. You know what I mean? They've got no players. They're getting injuries like they have done. It's going to be an absolute disaster. Disaster.
Spoiler at the end of the show, apparently, Cade says. Maybe.
Definitely going to announce it at the end of the show. I've already promised our guest I would do it, by the way. So.
Nah, I'm going to cut you off before you get the chance to. Sheffield United, mate. Had a great season in the Premier League and then suddenly just went off a cliff last year. So it's going to be interesting how they get on in the championship. They've got a very good squad, but you just never know with these teams coming down, mate.
No, well, listen, they've got a very good manager in place, Jankovic, who knows the championship.
Jankovic, he knows the championship inside out. Sorry, mate.
He knows the championship inside out. He's been promoted out of it. He's got, like you say, he's got a very good group of players. My only concern with the group of players he's got is they've had their way of playing with Chrissy Wilder for that long. Will they be able to adapt to the way that the new manager wants to come in? Will he want to play the same way and play a little bit direct but expansive football? Or will he want to play his own football like he's done in the past with sides who've got promoted and keep the ball? You know what I mean? Will the players be able to adapt to the way that he wants? They are good players, but sometimes managers pick players to adapt to the way that they play. You know what I mean? They've got McBurney. You know what I mean? He's probably a championship level player. He's a good footballer.
He's a good championship player, though.
Yeah, he'll put himself around. He'll score goals defensively. You know what I mean? They've got a very good goalkeeper. They've got a good back four. They've got a strong midfield. They've lost a couple of creative players. One's gone to Rangers, Lundstrom. But I still think they've got enough quality to get out this league. But I've just said that about six or seven other teams. So, you know, I mean, some teams are going to be very disappointing come the end of the season. And Sheffield United have got to make sure that they hit the ground running. They can't afford a poor start. They can't afford a hangover from the Premier League. That's one thing that they can't afford, because they got relegated. This season's a fresh new season. They've got to give it all they've got to try and get back up, because I know we said last year, didn't we, about teams getting promoted straight away out of coming down. Some teams did it. Some teams massively failed and underachieved, but they've got to make sure that they can do it again.
100%, mate. The last team I want to talk about this evening is Fulham. I think Fulham fans and Fulham as a football club will be desperately disappointed that Scott Parker decided to leave. If I was there, I'd be raging, because it's one thing if he'd gone to a Premier League club, but to move to a rival, another championship club, you know, Fulham only just missed out on going up last year, and he's done a tremendous job there. Like, make no mistake, he's done a great job. He's enhanced his reputation going into football management, of course. But I don't know, that would sting a bit for me. But they brought in former Everton boss, Watford, Marco Silva. I think that's a pretty big name for a championship club. And they've made some good signings. Luis Buonamorte, I'm glad to see him back involved in there. In like championship and British football. He's assistant manager, but Harry Wilson's a big signing. I think he showed bits of quality last year, particularly towards the end of the season. He's got to show that consistency with us. He's got to play like he did the last 5-6 games for Cardiff last year. He's got to play that 3 out of 4 games all season. Yeah. And then he's young, and you've got to give him time. Big price tag for a young man. And then Gazinga, I think, is also a very good signing for Fulham.
I'm surprised Spurs let him go. To be fair, because I know he's played. He's never going to play week in week out with the goalkeepers that Spurs had. Obviously they with signed, Joe Hart and Lloris, but
Joe Hart's gone, hasn't he? Or he's going.
Yeah, Joe Hart went, but he was obviously behind the money. He was behind him last year.
Yeah.
In the Europa League games and stuff.
Spurs have signed that the keeper from the Italian league. I think it's Atlanta. Off the top of my head, I think it's Atlanta keeper. He's an exceptional keeper, and I think I'm surprised he's gone to Spurs simply because I'm surprised that a goalkeeper of his standard is willing to be number two, basically. And of course, he's going to want to be number one. But Fulham, I think I look at those two signings particularly, and I think on top of what they already had, they look good. They look strong. And it will depend on how they react. We saw how Nottingham Forest reacted to heartbreak on the last day of the season last year. So Fulham have really got to make sure they clear their mind, haven't they? And there's been a bit more of a bigger gap this year between the two seasons because of the Euros and stuff. It wasn't quite as quick as last year. So they've had time to process it. You know, a lot of the players will have been away on international duty or with the Euros. But I think for Fulham, it's important to get a good start this year.
100%. I think I'm not sure why I agree with Scott Parker that Bournemouth are a bigger club than Fulham.
No, me neither.
I think the potential of Fulham could be massive if they got the right people, personnel. They got it all right. I think it could be a huge Premier League club where it's situated within the area. No, sorry.
Do you think Fulham have already proven that? Like, you look back to the times when Al-Fayed was in charge, and I think they showed that they could be a very big club in London. They signed in some massive players back in the day, and I think that's shown that if they've got financial backing. And by the way, the owners of Fulham are absolutely minted. If they decide that they want to put some money into that football club, Fulham could very, very quickly become a financial force, not just in the Championship, but in British football.
I totally agree. I think you can go back to Mohamed Al-Fayed when he obviously took over and he had Michael Jackson walking around. He had Kevin Keane as manager. He had Chris Coleman as his captain. He had Paul Bracewell in midfield. He had Pesky Sleader up front scoring goals. They were in League 2 at the time, or Division 3, winning games, winning titles, getting promoted again. They showed their intentions there, and they've never really stopped because they've just progressed on nicely over the course of time. They're slowly and surely improving the ground. They're getting there. They've got a lovely training facility. Everything just needs to come together for Fulham Football Club in order for them to progress on to that next level. And I agree with what you just said there earlier on about the manager. Marco Silva, for me, is...
I think what Andy's saying, Marco Silva is an absolute... he's a big, big name in European football. He's been a manager of some big football clubs. So for Fulham to bring him in quite quickly after Scott Parker was a phenomenal choice. I think it was really, really clever of Fulham to get him in quick. But Marco Silva is one of the... he's been a manager of some of the biggest football clubs in Europe. And go on.
Yeah, listen, he's a man mountain in terms of managing. You know what I mean? He's been in the Premier League. It'll be interesting how he copes with the Championship. And I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but the Championship is a different animal to the Premier League. You know what I mean? We've got people like Neil Warnock who know it like the back of his hand. Mick McCarthy knows it like the back of his hand. Scotty Parker's experience in it. You know what I mean? Played as a player, as a manager. You know what I mean? So it doesn't scare people. Whereas... when you've got that Premier League mentality, and it's happened with players, you look at the players who've struggled dropping down from the Premier League to the Championship about the pressures of getting promoted straight away. Managers are the same thing because you're not going, you've got 46 games, the more games, you've got midweek games, you've got the pressures of teams getting in your face, upsetting you, not playing as good attractive football, expansive football. It is a different league completely, and it's about the team who copes best throughout that 46 games, and who keeps the most clean sheets, who scores the most goals. It's a game of chess, and it's going to be so interesting because already we've named 8 teams who should get promoted, and unfortunately, yeah, 2 of them are going to miss out already, and that's without some surprises. So it's going to be amazing.
100%, mate. Right, to finish us off, mate, I would like you to tell me one team to look out for this year.
Oh, one team we'll go out and look out for. I'm gonna probably try and look outside the box a little bit and hope that I get a little gem, because nobody picked Barnsley last year. Nobody's picked the Lutons of this, you know what I mean? And I'm gonna go a team who's been promoted. And I'm gonna go Blackpool. And I'm not really sure why. I just think that there's always a team who gets promoted who overachieves. And out of the three who've come up, Hull are obviously the biggest club. Peterborough have probably a club who's been there before, but I just think Blackpool, for some reason, I'm not sure why, for me, are going to be the team to look out for, who are going to upset teams, who are going to... It's always a nice place to go and play at Blackpool, because of the way the seaside place is to go and play, and they always get the ground rocking, and it's good atmosphere.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Funny enough, I've picked a team which has come up as well. I've gone for Peterborough. I really like some of the signings they've made. Eastleigh fullback Tomlinson, the striker they signed. What's the winger they signed from Colchester? Poco. I think he's really exciting player. And the Exeter winger, I saw some clips of him. He looks an exciting little player, and yeah, I'm really, really... Notoriously, Peterborough tend to come up to the Championship, do well for a season, get relegated, yeah, just miss out on promotion the next year, and then get promoted the year after. They just go round and round and round.
Yeah. Well, just one player for me, Simon. One player for me with Peterborough, Clark Harris. If Clark Harris does what he did last year, yes, scores 20, 25, 30 goals, They could go anywhere they want, because if you've got a centre forward who scores the goals that he can score, and he can score, by the way, because he's done it for the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a step up, but he's a natural goal machine. And notoriously, Peterborough seem to always have a player who scores goals in the Championship, and they sell him on for massive money. Yes. Ivan Tony's of this world, McLean's, George Boyd's, they've done it. Britta Sombolonga, I'm sure, did it as well. So they've done it throughout their careers for players. So for me, is this another one of that conveyor belt? I hope it is for him, because you know what I mean, they seem to just do it all the time. And if they do it, then they'll have
I hope it is as well. But Daryl McAnthony, I really enjoy listening to him speak. I love his honesty. But he's done so much for Peterborough over the years as a football club and an area. I'll be very interested to see how they go. And one thing we always talk about the teams coming up is the one thing they seem to lack is a goal scorer. Yeah, and Peterborough have got that, which I think if they can continue their good form and score goals, then they've got a good chance. Also, Luton Town was my other sort of option I was looking at. Really impressed by Luton last year. We'll do some predictions then, mate. Who do you think is going to win? I'm going to make a note of these as well. Who do you think is going to win the Championship this year? We will revisit this as we're going along, obviously.
I'm not going to say it because they're winning tonight already, but Bournemouth for me, with a new manager, with the infrastructure, which the reason why Scotty's gone there is because of he believes something special is going to happen. And I thought they were unlucky not to probably achieve a little bit more last year with obviously Jonathan Woodgate. I thought that they were unlucky to fail at the final hurdle in the playoffs. But yeah, for me, I think Bournemouth, and it'll be an underachievement if they don't. So for me, I think they'll win the league this year.
Do you know what's interesting? Because I've gone for Fulham. So that's interesting. Will be Silver versus Parker, Fulham versus Bournemouth, Campbell versus Sy. And then who do you think is going to be the runner-up?
I'm going to go West Brom. There's a lot of pressure on the manager, obviously from last year. But I'm going to go West Brom, even though they are obviously losing tonight. It's already just shows the power of the Championship or the Premier League Two, as I like to call it. But no, for me, I think they've still got the nucleus. They've brought a couple of players in. I think they'll do well.
spot on. And guys, please do leave your predictions in the comments, in the live chat, in the comments after the show as well. So I've gone for Stoke City as my runner-up. And then give me very quickly, Mitch, your four teams you think will make the playoffs.
Oh, Fulham, Sheffield United, Cardiff City, Middlesbrough. There you go. Brave.
There we go. Brave. And I'm going to go. My playoff teams will be Cardiff, Blackburn, Swansea. I say begrudgingly, Cardiff, Blackburn, not Blackpool, Swansea, and Bournemouth. Nice. Oh, my four, not in no particular order. I got to be honest, like I've already discussed with Cardiff, that's maybe a bit of a sort of a loyalty one rather than a belief one. And then who do you think is going to get relegated, my friend? Yeah,
mine's in hope. Derby County.
Derby County, absolutely.
Yeah, Derby County already down in my opinion. I'm gonna go with Hull City. I'm not sure why. I just think it's going to be a big ask for them. To continue what they did, and I've gone Peterborough, even though they were going to impress me. I've gone Peterborough because part of me thinks if they don't score enough goals, that could be the downfall. But Derby County for me are already down unless they've
gone themselves out
tonight, which I don't believe they will have.
I'm going for Derby. I'm really sorry to Boltsy for this, but I'm going Forest, and I'm also going for I'm sort of trapped between Hull and Blackpool. I'm going to go Blackpool to go down. So three big teams there, mate, which in my opinion could go down this year. I thought Forest just looked a shell last year. I really was worried about them for a big part of the season. Even though they never really looked like they were going to go down, I was genuinely concerned by what I saw from the football club last year. I've got to be honest, if they were to go down, I'd be absolutely mortified. I got some friends who are lifelong Forest fans, and I'd be really upset if they went down.
But like we said, like we said last year, there's no clubs too big to go down. Sheffield Wednesday, you know what I mean? Like, look at the mess that they were in last year, and I think with the players that they brought in, they've took a step back. I believe rebuilding wise, they'll get good attendances, they'll score a lot of goals. I believe they'll be back in the Championship next year, and they'll be in a good position for it. But it doesn't always work out like that, unfortunately.
Yeah, Derby look like they're going to be the Sheffield Wednesday of this year. Rooney's got a massive job on his hands. One of the jobs he's got to do, mate, he's got to get the respect of those players by his own behaviour. I've been utterly disappointed with the way he's conducted himself in the last 12 months on a few different levels. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and attack him for his choices. Look, he's going to live his life. He can do what he wants. But for me, he's a manager of a football club. He's one of the biggest names in British football. He's also a father and a husband. If it's me, if that was me, then I'd be very disappointed with some of the choices he's made.
Just on that point, I disagree with what you said there. He can't live his life as he wants it. You know what I mean? He's made a decision to be a football manager. He's got a responsibility to his players to act as a football manager and to be a role model for all his players. And for me, if you're going out drinking, falling asleep on a sofa, then every one of your players is allowed to do the same thing. And I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? For me, it doesn't look good from a role model point of view. It doesn't look good from he's your leader. You know what I mean? Players aren't allowed to do it, so why should a manager be able to do it?
Spot on, mate. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad choices. But ultimately, what he does reflects on Derby County. Look, I don't know, mate. He's a father, he's a husband as well. It doesn't sit right with me. And I don't like to criticise people for, you know, their personal choices. It's up to them, isn't it? But just got to make better decisions, haven't you?
Yep.
And I think he's left himself a massive uphill battle because of that. Okay, Monday evening, 7:30, we'll be back with the Andy Campbell Football Show with our special guest, Andy Campbell. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about him? The OG.
Our special guest is ex-Cardiff City player, Scott Young. Scott, obviously, a very famous goal against Leeds United, ex-Cardiff City manager. Had a great career. He's got loads of stories to tell. Absolutely gentleman of a man. And really looking forward to having him on the show. You know what I mean? He speaks really well and just can't wait to hear his passion about Cardiff City, about Welsh football. No prouder Welshman. So yeah, super excited. Can't wait to have him on the show. It's going to be really, really, really exciting.
Yeah, he's the original one club man, mate. The OG one club man, as it were. So really looking forward to that one. That's going to be a very, very good one. I had him on, I think it was My Story before, and he's just an absolute, just a lovely fella. Like, so I'm kind of
he's a gentleman.
With him.
Gentle giant is.
Full of funny stories, full of stuff. He'll have a good chat and answer some questions. And, of course, still involved within the Cardiff City setup, or at least he was. I don't know if he still is. He's won all in the football. And then just to finish us off, a big thank you as ever to Black Diamond Sports, of course. Please do download the audio version of this show and all the other shows we do at the Sports Social. Give them a follow. And obviously, you know, just push us around to them and tell them that you discovered them through us. Bespoke Financial, thank you for sponsoring the show. And of course, I encourage you all to check out their services. It's been fantastic. I will be back on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the Danny Batten Fight Show Live. Joining us is Cage Warriors flyweight Aaron Abbey, and we'll be talking about his life and career, including the life of being a professional fighter with cystic fibrosis and battling back from cancer a couple of years ago. He's got an incredible story. He's a lovely guy, and I'm really looking forward to having a chat with him and talking the latest news from the fight world. Me and Andy will be back Monday evening with Scott Young. Super Kevin Scripted will also be back next week, probably Wednesday, but we'll confirm that. But in the meantime, Andy Campbell, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much.
My mummy and daddy have been talking about life insurance. It sounds like something to protect my brother and me, but I don't really understand. Then my auntie Louise told mummy about Bespoke Financial Teesside. She said they're a local company who helped her with her life insurance. Mummy got in touch, and because they're based locally, a man called Darren was able to come to our house. He was really friendly. Darren stayed for a cup of tea and made it all really easy to understand. He said that life insurance will protect our home and family if anything bad were to happen. Like if mummy or daddy got sick, then we'd get enough money to take care of us and our house would be paid for so we wouldn't get taken away. After an hour, Darren said goodbye and mummy and daddy seemed a lot happier. Once it was all sorted, we could all relax and watch a film together as a family. I don't know why they didn't do it sooner.
I belong to you. Do just what you want. You're the one I trust, and I always be around when I need some loving, baby.
Podcast Network.